The scripture reading this morning is from Ephesians 6:4. You know, we've been dealing with the family and in this series. And now we come to really a portion of this is the responsibilities of children and parents. In Ephesians 6:1-4 here, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live on earth long. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." You know, we started this whole series in thinking about from Ephesians 5:15-17 there. It sets the groundwork, and here it says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." That was foundational for all these things that we've been learning about husbands and wives, and now with children, and next week the workplace situation. Those are the foundations, that we walk as wise men and not as foolish. And so that's foundational to all this teaching. But today we want to look at the responsibilities of children and the parents. So I'm going to be speaking to the children here, primarily. But the value of American families, including Christian families, have changed significantly over the years. These things, the things that we used to think were wrong are now accepted and almost commonplace and given hearty approval in some cases. Moral and spiritual standards have gradually eroded until the families really have been almost devastated. The effects have been tragic in raising the families and children. We see the results everywhere, really, in our society today. We have conformed to the beliefs and the values of the world that is dominated, really, by Satan. The spirit of the world today is one that seeks self-gratification and is driven by impulse rather than by obedience to the Word of God. Ungodly lifestyles are evident all around us. And again, I've dug into some data and stuff, just showing the condition of the world today in relation to children. Today, the number one disorder for children aged 2 to 10 is what the world calls ADHD, Attention Deficit Hyperactive Disorder. When a child acts out of control today, we say he has ADHD. Rather than discipline the child, we just drug them with Ritalin, what we call vitamin R, to control their behavior. 2 million children today say they have HD or ADHD. 1.3 million take Ritalin daily, 5 times higher than the rest of the world. This is distinctively an American issue. We turn our undisciplined children basically into drug addicts so parents can get on with their lives. The problem is that children do not have a mother or a father to teach them, to train them, and to discipline them. Instead, we just drug them. Recent data says that 8 million children assaulted their parents. 2 Timothy 3:2 says children will be disobedient to their parents. You know, a foreign visitor, listen to this, he said, what impressed me most about America is the way parents obey their children. That's a sad commentary. Approximately 6 million children have no father in the home. Mothers have abandoned children pursuing careers. Over 750,000 children live in foster homes today. You can now divorce your parents. A Milwaukee court set the pace. In 1960, 1% of children under 18 experienced parents' divorce. Today, it is well over 50%, and that includes Christian homes. In 1950, there was only 170 arrests for serious crimes, crimes like murder, rape, etc., that serious crimes, 170. By 1980, it increased 11,000%, and Lord knows what it is today. By the time a child graduates from high school, His number one activity is watching TV. 30 hours a week. Sleep is the only thing they have spent more time doing. This does not include playing video games and use of their smartphones, which I'm sure has probably replaced a lot of the TV watching. In America alone, we spend more money on toys than the gross national product of some 60-plus nations. We just give them toys instead of our attention. You know, listening to this stuff, we need to reestablish ourselves in God's standards for family and raising children. There is much published today on marriage and how to raise a family. Yet God's Word gives us the basis for the right parent-child relationships. You know, and as we talk and teach about this stuff today, there's no way in one sermon we can talk about how to raise a child. But we can get the principles of God's Word, and those are the basis for what we are to look at. We're to teach God's truths and pass them on to our children. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, "And you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." You see, we'll be teaching the Word of God to our children. Parents are to continually speak about the things of God so that God's knowledge will become a standard, really, for that family. From the time of the fall, remember we talked about that, from the time of the fall, the family has been plagued with problems that weaken and undermine and threaten the family and that tries to destroy it. Only where Christ is in control as Savior and Lord can a family live up to the standards which God has set. A major cause of family problems is really the satanic world system in which we live. Because God's plan is to build and strengthen and protect the family, of course, Satan's plan then is to come and undermine, to weaken, and to destroy it. Satan wants the family to follow the world system of values so it cannot function God's way. From the beginning, it was God's intention for His people to be different and set apart and to be distinct, to be separated from the ways of the world. Another factor in the destruction of the home is the corrupt influence, really, of the humanistic philosophy that we deal with today. There is much effort today to undo the parent-child relationship, to eliminate the family tradition altogether. You know, one of the major goals, really, of the Marxist socialism was to liberate children from their home and to make them wards of the state. A child out of the home will not be taught moral, religious, social, patriotic, and political standards or attitudes that are contrary to what that state or the country wanted them to know. And, you know, I'm thinking about that. Even in our own country, there was an attempt to take away family traditions so they could mold and shape the future generations. Remember, It Takes a Village was an attempt to do so. And, you know, some of the things the humanistic groups believe children must be liberated from are traditional morals and values, parental authority, physical punishment, religion, nationalism, patriotism, and even capitalism. Among the things they believe children should be allowed to do and to have are complete sexual freedom, including the right to homosexual marriage, and, of course, abortions. Proposals have been made for children's rights to do such things as sue their parents for being forced to attend church, be paid minimum wage for doing household chores, to be allowed to choose their own family. How far have we fallen when these things are prominent in our culture? God's view is totally different. From the beginning of Scripture, children are a blessing from God. Throughout the Bible, children are shown to be the Lord's gifts to us. They are the blessings to be cherished, loved, cared for, and to teach them faithfulness in the Lord. You know, Psalm 127, which Gary read in verses 3 to 5, again, it says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are children of one's youth. How blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them." Children are a blessing. The true blessing of parenthood is that of raising children to love the Lord and to really to follow God's ways. It is the righteous, godly child who brings blessing and happiness to his parents. Parents who do not commit themselves to a godly teaching and training of their children are likely to find their sons and daughters really involved in ungodly practices and immoral philosophies and all these things that we see in the world today. Despite what the world may say, children are to obey and honor their parents. That's what God has said. They are not to be liberated from their parents and enabled to choose to do whatever they want to do and when they want to do it. In God's Word, parents have every truth and every guideline necessary for raising their children in righteousness and godliness. Those things are found in Scripture. And what a child needs to know about how he should relate and respond to his parents is also in God's Word. And so what the Bible has to say, really, it's timeless and it's updated. It doesn't go out of date. Now in Ephesians 6, 1 through 5, or 1 through 4 rather, and just 3, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." The Greek word for children here is technon. It does not just refer to young children, but it refers to offspring. It means your offspring, not just brethos babies or young children, but it means your offspring. And sons and daughters still under their parents' care, it says here, are to obey your parents. You know, we learned in Ephesians 5:31. Let me just go back to that. You know, we learned that when we looked at that. In Ephesians 5:31, it said, you know, here when for this reason, a man shall leave his mother, or his father, and his mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. You know, we learned that. When a person gets married, they're no longer under that obligation necessary and that training of their parents. The authority of their parents they once had changes once they're married, but they should respect and have concern for their parents really as long as they live. And the child who is brought up to obey and honor his parents will always be sensitive really to their wisdom, to the parents' wisdom, their counsel, and their welfare. You'll be concerned about your parents' welfare. And so the word obey is the Greek word hupakuo, and it literally means to hear under. When you say you are to obey, you're to hear under. And that is to listen with attentiveness and to respond positively to what is heard. You're to listen to what your parents say, is the idea. Children are put themselves under the words and the authority of their parents. And in the Lord, when we say obey and honor your parents in the Lord, this refers to that sphere of pleasing the Lord and to obeying parents for the Lord's sake. You see, the Lord's name again is at stake here. Children obeying their parents is a reflection of their obedience to the Lord. When you obey your parents, it's a reflection of how you view the Lord. You're obeying the Lord in essence. And the context makes it clear that in the Lord applies to honor as well as obey. Parents are to be obeyed and honored because to do so is to obey and honor the Lord, is the idea here. And so parents are God's stewards. You know, we as parents, we're God's stewards of our children. They're on loan to us, you might say, by our Heavenly Father. And that is why children are commanded, it says, to be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Colossians 3:20. The basic reason for children to obey and honor their parents is simply that it says here that it is right. It's the right thing to do by the Lord. Right is the word dikaios, and it refers to that which is correct or just and righteous. For children to obey and honor their parents, it's right. And this is as it should be, because everything God commands and ordains is right. And Hosea 14:9 says, "Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous will walk by them, but transgressors will stumble in them." You see, the ways of the Lord are right. The right attitude behind the right act of obedience is honor. And honor is the Greek word timao. It means to value highly. When you honor your parents, you revere them and you value them highly, to hold the highest regard and respect for them. That's what he's saying here. Children, revere your parents. Hold them in the highest respect. The term is for reverence and preciousness and honor. Children are to honor their parents this way. Children are to honor both their father and their mother, to hold them in the highest regard, in the highest respect possible. And when God gave His written law in the form of the Ten Commandments, the first law relating to human relationships was, honor your father and your mother, for the days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord God has given you. Exodus 20:12. And so this is the same thing that Paul is enforcing here in this text in Ephesians. It is the only commandment of the ten which relates really to the family relationship, because that one principle alone, when obeyed, is enough to secure the right relationships of children to their parents. And so also it's a key principle behind all, really, when you think about all right human relationships in society. A person who grows up with a sense of respect and obedience for his parents will have that foundational respect that he has for authorities in his life, other leaders, and the rights, really, of other people in general. If they learn to respect their parents, they will respect authorities in their life throughout their life, is the idea. Respect of parents is of great importance to God. We see this in the Old Testament. In Exodus 21:15 and 17, we see the commands, "He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And he who curses his father and his mother will surely be put to death." Either to physically or verbally abuse a parent was a capital punishment in ancient Israel. And, of course, we don't kill our children today for such offenses. But we see the seriousness of such offenses before God. We see how serious these things are. In the United States, and we said that, at least 8 million assaults are made each year by children on their parents. 8 million children assault their parents. In recent years, a number of children have been convicted for murdering or hiring the killing of their parents, usually for no greater reason than resentment of parental control and discipline. And so children who are told that they can do whatever they wish and can have whatever they want and do it their way are children who will soon rebel against their parents, their teachers, moral standards, the law, society in general. How a child grows and develops really determines how they will relate really later on in society. Children who respect and obey their parents will build really a society that is ordered and structured and fulfilling and productive. A generation of undisciplined, disobedient children will produce a society really that is chaotic and undisciplined and destructive, really. So, you know, the word honor there, too, it says honor of parents includes providing for them when they can no longer provide for themselves. We don't often think about this. Just as parents cared and provided for their children are to do whatever it takes to provide for them when they no longer are able to do so. You realize that? We have a responsibility that's honoring our parents. And so children have to be trained. When you think about it, children have to be trained to obey and honor their parents. And that has to be taught. They have to be trained to do that. The book of Proverbs has many truths that guide parents in training their children. In Proverbs are lessons for parents to teach their children. Proverbs 8:1 says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Parents are the child's primarily God-given authority and source of training. It is the parent that does this. That's our purpose for our children, is to train them. God plans for believers to pass on His instruction from one generation to the next. A child can have no greater inheritance than a godly teaching and a godly parent that invests in their lives the examples of God and the teachings and the truths of God's Word. Just as an obedient child brings happiness and fulfillment to a family, a disobedient child brings the very opposite. He brings grief to his mother, Proverbs 10:1, unhappiness and destruction to his father, Proverbs 17:21, and disgrace to them both, Proverbs 19:26. You know, the world today has much to say about children's so-called rights, but the focus should be on the child's responsibilities. Emphasis on rights does not build really relationships. Focus on responsibilities builds right relationships and really right character. We need to teach our children responsibilities, that they develop the right godly character that we want in them. And you know, the world today has much to say about how that's done. Every child must grow spiritually to know God. Children do not know and love and obey God naturally. This isn't done on their own. A child must be taught about God, His nature, His care, His love, and His will. And that's the responsibility of us as parents. And when he matures, he must be taught his need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And so the command here, when it says, honor your father and mother, it has two blessings. First, that it may be well with you. And that relates to the quality of life. And then he says that you may live long on the earth. And that relates to the quantity of life promised. But the family where a child and parent live in love and submission will really have a fulfilling, God-given, harmonious life together. And this is what we want to understand. To teach our children God's ways will lead to a fulfilling life for both the parent and the child. And the promise to live long on earth, it refers to the believer who honors his parents will know that his lifetime will be the full measure that God intended for that person. You see? And so it goes on, though, and in Ephesians 6:4, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Paul's first command to parents here is negative. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. According to a recent report, the primary cause for children being in foster homes today, it's not divorce, it's not financial problems, or it's not death of the parents, but simply the disinterest of their parents. A devastating abuse of a child is that of being neglected and treated as if he did not exist. This is the major reason children are in foster homes. Their parents don't care for them. The word fathers here, it's the Greek word that refers to the male parent. But in context here, Paul is speaking really about both parents. Because the father has the prominent figure in the household of that day, and really today it should be, he was the parent who would most often provoke his children to anger. But the mother is capable of course, doing the same thing. And to provoke to anger, it suggests a repeated, ongoing pattern of treatment that gradually builds up to a deep-seated resentment or anger that boils over in outward hostility in the child. You see, we're not to provoke them to anger. And some of the parents' treatment is usually not intended. You know, a lot of the things we do weren't intended to provoke them to anger. Often it is thought to be for the child's best interest. There are many provocations that can lead to anger, and I was just thinking of a few, and this is not all inclusive, but the list here, but there are things that we can do that really promote or develop that anger in a child. Well-meaning overprotection is a common cause of resentment in children. Parents can over-restrict their children. They control what they do and where they go and what they can everything they can do, never trust the things that they do on their own and continually question their judgment. They can build barriers between themselves and the child. Usually this is done with the idea of thinking that you're building a closer relationship with them. Children often need careful guidance, and we have to give them careful guidance. This is not to neglect that. And we're to give them certain restrictions. But they are individuals and must learn to make decisions on their own relative to their age and relative to their maturity. But you can overprotect them and never let them grow up on their own, so to speak. And favoritism can provoke a child to anger. You know, for parents to compare their children with each other, especially in the child's presence, can be a devastating to that child. They become discouraged, resentful, withdrawn, and bitter. You see, you don't have favorites and you don't express that to them like that. You're to treat every child with respect. Another way parents provoke their children to anger is by pushing achievement beyond really reasonable bounds. A child can be so pressured to achieve that he is literally destroyed. He learns that anything he does is not sufficient. Anything he does is not good. Parents can live their own fantasies and failed achievements really through their children. We often see that in athletic events and whatnot. But it could be applicable to many things in that child. But we're not to provoke them to anger by expressing or pushing them to achieve beyond what is reasonable. Children can be provoked to anger by discouragement. A child who is never encouraged or complimented by his parents, that can lead to trouble. If the child is always told what is wrong and never what is right with him or them, they soon lose hope. You see? We are to encourage our children, nurture them, not to just discourage them and everything we see is wrong, we make that a big issue. Another way that provokes children that by the parents is who fail to sacrifice really for their own children and making them feel unwanted. Or to sacrifice for our children. Children who are made to feel that they're an intrusion or that they interfere with the plans of the parents, their happiness and all that, you know, they can become very resentful. And so, you know, we're not to do that. An obvious way to provoke a child to abuse is to abuse and physically or verbally that child. Battered children are a problem today. Proper physical discipline is not a matter of exerting superior authority or physical strength or anything, but the correction is to be done in love in a reasonable manner. Obviously, you know, physical abuse or verbal abuse can damage a child. Children can also be abused verbally. The parent can overpower the child with words as well as you can with physical strength. Criticizing children continually and to use sarcasm can inflict really harm and lead to resentment of that parent. And so, it's amazing to me. Sometimes we say to our children things that we'd never say to somebody else for fear of what we might ruin our reputation or whatever. So we need to be careful of the things that we say. But the positive side of Ephesians 6:4 here says for parents to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And this is really key to what we're talking about today. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Discipline is the Greek word paideia, and it comes with the word pious, which means child, and refers to the training of that child. Bring that child up in the instruction of the Lord. It includes the idea of correction, really, for wrongdoing, but the whole idea is to bring them up in instruction and discipline of the Lord. We see much of that in Proverbs 13:14. It says, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently." You know, our society today says spanking should be outlawed. But God's Word says, if you spare the rod, you what? You hate your child. It's like hate when you don't discipline them. Through correction, you know what? We're saying that we love them. when we discipline them correctly, we're showing that we love them and care for them, and we're concerned about their future. That correction needs to be done with the proper manner, God's way. But to discipline a child is to say that you love him. Paul's meaning here in the expression in Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, that the discipline there has to do with the overall training of a child, and that includes punishment. But the whole idea is to train your child up in godly principles and godly truths. Instruction is the Greek word nathesia, and it literally means putting into mind. We're to put into the minds of our children the godly teaching. It's to putting into mind. It includes that connotation of correction, but it focuses on the training and teaching of children. It has less to do with, you know, just factual information, but it has more to do with right attitudes and principles of behavior. Train that child up in godly truths. Invest in your children the spiritual truths of God is the idea. Invest in them. And in conclusion of this, the key to right discipline and instruction of children is following really the Lord's instruction. Everything a parent does for his children is to be mindful of the Lord. And, you know, according to the teaching of his word, by the guidance of his power and of the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory, we are to teach our children the word of God. And this is the heart of this whole issue. You know, and many of us don't have children in the home anymore, but we have grandchildren. And we can have that opportunity to do the same in them. Nurture them. Teach them the things of God. You know, we have to be careful how we walk. We started out as wise people and not as unwise. Making the most of our time. We're to understand what the will of the Lord is. Again, if God gives instruction in His Word about raising a family and raising children, we need to trust Him and follow Him. And put our confidence in what he says. That's at the heart of this. Raise up our families in godly truths, in godly instruction, in godly discipline, that they might grow up and honor God. This will lead to a fulfilled and successful family relationships. This is the key of it. You know, there's so many things that we can say about how do you get down to the nuts and bolts of raising a family, raising a child, what you should and shouldn't do. But fundamentally, this is at the very heart of it, that we teach our children the truths of God's Word. And that's going to take a lot of responsibility for us as parents and grandparents, that we have to be willing to do that. We have to invest in the lives of our children and our grandchildren. It takes time. It takes a lot of work. But the reward of that is just ultimately manyfold. We need to invest in the lives of our children. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray that we're a people that purpose in our own lives, in our own hearts, Father, to train up our children in the truths of your word. Father, many of us have made mistakes and have fallen short of this. But Father, now we know and we have a chance, Father, to know you and to know your word and then to share that with our youth. Father, that they might grow up and praise you and praise their parents. Lord, I pray that we're that people. God, strengthen us for these days that we might be a faithful, God-loving society and people. Lord, again, I just thank you for our time together. I pray for our parents here in this congregation, Father, that they would make that a priority in their life, to love their children the way you love them, and to raise them up as a godly person that honors you, Lord, with their life. And Father, we just thank you for the time now together. Father, strengthen us again that we might be this faithful people, that the purpose in our hearts to be more like you, to be more like Christ. Again, Father, we just thank you for this privilege and opportunity. We just ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.